Hello everyone and welcome to another video here on the Cycling Dane Extra Channel, or if you're listening on the Cycling Dane podcast. And today, Patrick and I, Patrick's back, Patrick from Audio Cycling. We're talking about Gent Wevelgem, and Patrick, Gent Wevelgem, obviously an interesting race. I think in the last few years, the Binyam Girmayr victory was huge history, Christophe winning here as well, Sagan winning here, Boonen having the all-time record, I still think. And Gent Wevelgem, what does it do for you as a race?
It's a weird one, because it's been known to end in a sprint, but it hasn't really been like that the last few years. It's definitely been more attritional than I think a lot of us have been expecting, and that's largely been due to like weather and stuff, which has largely impacted that, and we'll get onto that in a bit. But I don't know, I feel it quite reminiscent with Wout van Aert in the last few years, but he's not actually on the start list, which is a bit weird for me. I always feel like, I guess I think this race is quite synonymous with him, because he's won it twice. He won it last year when him and Laporte got away. He won it from that sprint where Nathan van Hooijdonk was keeping it all together. So it's a bit weird to not have Wout this year, but it's a long one. You know, it's a big warm-up race for the Tour of Flanders, which is of course coming up in, you know, less than 2 weeks. So it's an important tune-up race for the big riders to be getting in.
Obviously, we're filming this before E3, big caveat. I forgot about the Geraint Thomas crosswinds where Luca Paolini won that. That was quite an incredible addition. But nevertheless, in terms of the route, what does it look like for the riders?
So we've got 252 kilometers in store, which is going from Ypres to Wevelgem. It includes a few ascents of the Monteberg and also the Kemmelberg. The Kemmelberg being the most important one that I think a lot of people will associate with this race. That is where Wout van Aert usually has put his attacks in over the last couple of years. It's where him and Laporte went away last year. It's really the main kind of course of the day. They do two different ascents. One's kind of 800 meters long and averages 10%. The other one is 500 meters long and averages a little bit less, but they both go up to about 20% with some really quite jagged cobbles. They've got quite big gaps between them, apparently. So it's a really tough one, and it's those really kind of steep gradients towards the top of the Kemmelberg that really create differences. I think very importantly to note is that the run into Wevelgem, they head in a sort of easterly direction, southeast, and the weather for Sunday, or for Gent Wevelgem, it's going to be a tailwind finish, which is certainly favourable for the attackers. And there's also going to be quite a few stretches where this wind, which is going to be probably somewhere near 30 kilometre mile an hour with gusts going up to over 40, we're going to have quite a lot of crosswind sections. It's not going to rain by the looks of things, but the weather with the crosswinds could certainly make a big difference. And yeah, I think that favours the attackers with a tailwind finish. So what do you make of that, Scott? Do you reckon sprinters, do you reckon a little group gets away, Wout van Aert, Christophe Laporte style? I think it's all up in the air.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that addition as well. I kind of just cut that out of my memory because the excitement was zero. Yeah, the king himself is here, but we'll get into that. I think you're right. It does favor the attackers with that, and seeing like groups get up the road as well in this race. Although, again, this is one of those where it's like, this is a sprinter's race, but it's not really when you look at the winners. Yeah, we might as well go into it as well. Favorites, Patrick, who do you think is... Well, we might as well talk about it. Jumbo-Visma, Team Visma Lisa Bike. In your face, Wild Will, we're not going to bow down to your thing. Yeah, watch the Echelon Cycling podcast for more context on that. But Visma Lisa Bike, do you think they're the team to continue this dominance that they've done this early part in the one-day races?
I've got too many question marks over this Jumbo-Visma Lisa Bike, whatever, team. No Wout, which is a bit odd, I think. It's just like Wout is obviously
scared.
Very focused.
He is scared of everyone. He was in that Milan-San Remo. What is he doing? What are you doing? Instead of telling us how to say your team's name, turn up to Milan Sanremo, turn up to Gent Wevelgem. Yeah. Let's see these showdowns with you and Matthew. That's all we want.
It's like last year, because he didn't win Flanders and he didn't win Roubaix. He's basically going with like a completely different approach in the hopes that, I don't know, it kind of does away all the curses which he, I don't know, maybe believes just hangs over him. But going back to this team, Laporte is on the start list, but he was taken off of the E3 star list because, of course, as we all remember, he DNF'd San Remo because he had a stomach problem. So we'll wait and see whether this is actually true or not, whether he'll start. So that's a caveat. Then we've got Benoot, Per Stonhagen as Olav Koy, probably their best shot, Tosh van der Sander, and then Mick and Tim van Dijker. I think it's an all right team. I think Koy is their best shot, so long as he can make it over the climb. He was looking decent in San Remo. He was in the second group, but you know, he made it over that front group in the Cipressa, which is quite impressive. So I think that Koy is their best chance of winning it. So I think Visma believes the bike will be favouring trying to keep things together, as opposed to other teams like, say, Alpecin, who might want to do something different.
Now, what are they going to do? Just Mathieu van der Poel destroys everything. Yeah, Philipsen as well here. Oh, yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, no, I think Philipsen, after his San Remo, I mean, wow, just that was an incredible finish. And yeah, him and van der Poel, I think that's a really dangerous duo. That is very Wout van Aert and Christophe Laporte from last year sort of energy. And I do think that they'll be going on a more offensive sort of approach and trying to get sprinters out the back, because obviously Philipsen proved at San Remo how much of a better climber he is than pretty much most sprinters. So those two are backed up also by Timo Kielik, Søren-Claude Andersen, Sylvain Dillier, and Gianni Vermeersch. I think there's still one rider they can add in there. But yeah, Van der Poel and Philipsen really being the headline names. Both of them finished on the podium of Roubaix. It wouldn't surprise me if they both finished on the podium of this race, to be honest with you. I think that it's really up to Alpecin to make this race, I think, because I think every other team is largely focused on a sprint finish.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about it as well in Echelon, that is Mathieu van der Poel too bothered about winning Paris-Roubaix again? Is he too bothered about, well, he has never won Gent-Wevel again, but is he here to work for Jasper Philipsen now, or is he... Is it all in the Jasper Philipsen basket, or is it Mathieu van der Poel? Is he actually the plan B, whereas we thought it was the opposite way?
It's hard to say. You could imagine a couple of scenarios. Either van der Poel is allowed to attack and Philipsen kind of just waits in the group behind of all the other sprinters, knowing that he's likely fastest there and just does them all that way, forces the other teams to chase. Alpecin try and keep it all together and have Van der Poel as a lead out for Philipsen, because we've seen how effective that has been. Or they try and get Philipsen and Van der Poel into a little group up the road with some other attackers and just try and work over all the sprinting teams who are chasing behind. So I think they've got quite a few options to go for. I'm not sure which one is necessarily the best. I'd probably say it's the one where they try and get Philipsen and Mathieu into a group with some other attackers. Because there are other teams here who probably won't want to sprint and will probably just want to be getting a move up the road. So if they can get a good group going off the front, I think that might be the best case scenario for guaranteed success. Mathieu from San Remo, it looks like he's quite happy to work for Philipsen and just kind of working for the team victory. I'm not sure if individual success is particularly on his mind. I mean, I think that he will want to win like Flanders and Roubaix, though. But these other kind of semi-classics, if that's what you want to call them, and I think he's more than happy to let Philipsen have those.
Yeah, well, we don't really see Jasper Philipsen being there in Tour of Flanders. I'm not even sure he's down for Tour of Flanders. He's down for Amstel Gold, which if he pulls that off, Jasper Philipsen has to be the best. Well, that's almost like Sean Kelly-like profile. Right, he'll go win the Welter and win Paris-Nice 7 years in a row. But yeah, I really like this dynamic that they have, that two-punch rider. And like, Wout, why are you not here? We want to see the two dominant pairs against each other. But yeah, cowardly not doing it. The last world champion to win Gent-Wevelgem as world champion, do you know who that was?
Scott.
You'll kick yourself if you don't know this one.
The boner?
No, it's Peter Skan.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes. Yeah, but we might as well move on. I mean, I know a lot of people on this channel who are not of the Eritrean origin get annoyed every time I talk about Binny too much, but I am a big fan, so we're going to do that. Binny, of course, won this race back in 2022, beating Laporte, and then Laporte subsequently went and won the next year, which I think was quite impressive. So Laporte is the most successful rider in the last 2 years. But in terms of his year, it's like we spoke about it in Torino in that very chaotic episode where he got relegated as well. So he's not been having the best year, but still up there in the sprints. But the classics are a very different thing. He is very good on the cobblestones, which I still think is strange. And a trade rider be good at, what's the next thing we're going to see? Colombian being good at time trialing. Sorry, Santiago Botero. I know you were the world champion, but like he's listening. But yeah, what do you think of them? Lawrence Rex as well. He was very strong winning that. What race was he won? Just narrowly in front of Antonio Morgado. Yeah, Lasserman. Sorry, Lasserman. It's just a shitty little B race or whatever Arno Divi said.
Oh no,
that's a joke, guys. I like Lasserman, but yeah, Patrick Intermarché Wanty, they have got a bit of a momentum now, and there are a number of good riders in the team here. Do you think it is a team that we should be looking towards as a main favorite, or is this more as an underdog outsider category?
I think it's an underdog team. Binny, Maddies Mikkels, Hugo Pagès, Lawrence Rex, Adrien Petit, Mike Tennyson, and Jules Zimmermann. I think it's strong. You know, it works. It's got a lot of good components there for, if you can even dare say, that teams can do a lead out at the end of a Gent-Wevelgem. I think that, most importantly, you've got riders there who are going to be able to make it over the Camelberg with Binny. You need people, most importantly, to chase back a likely attack from Alpecin or whoever else it might be. If you only have kind of two riders around your sprinter, it's not great because you kind of want one person for a lead out and then you can only then commit another one to a chase. So you really need like a good collaboration. And yeah, I could see somebody like, you know, Lawrence Rex, Zimmermann, maybe even Maddies Mikkels and Jordan Zimmermann. Maybe they all make it over the Camelberg with Binny. So I think it's strong. Binny's chances of doing well in a sprint, I mean, sprinting's a little bit of a lottery. I don't see any reason why Binny wouldn't do well. I don't see him beating somebody like Philipsen, for example, but, you know, he's fast in his day, and if you're positioned correctly, there's no reason why he couldn't be, you know, finishing on the podium if it was all coming down to a sprint.
I mean, at the team presentation, their goal was a top five in one of the big classics, so... Yeah, top five here. Do you think that is potentially what could happen?
It's the most realistic chance of getting a top five, I think, and achieving that goal is with Binny in a sprint here.
What other teams are you kind of looking at? We had Matej Moric. Said he had the legs, but just didn't have the positioning in the opening Belgian weekend. We have the remnants of Soudal Quickstep's classic aspirations, but Tim Merlier has been looking absolutely incredible this year. Stefan Kung as well, we've mentioned him in the past. A very British lineup is coming from Ineos Grenadiers. Where are you looking? I know I've just threw like five teams in your face and said make some analysis, but why are you kind of looking at? We'll get to Jacob Ayula as well, because that is a very interesting team right now.
I'm really looking at splitting the teams into two categories, which is teams who want this to break up into a small group to fight for victory, and teams which want this to be a sprint. I think that Alpecin want it to break off into a breakaway, and I'd say that Mohoric wants that to happen. I'd say that Kung wants that to happen. I'd say that maybe Mats Pedersen wants that to happen as well. Ineos would favour that scenario too. Jayco even, like you were just saying, Arakanvay would favour that scenario as well. But then you have the teams who really want it to be like an absolute sprint. So your Intermarché's, Soudal Quickstep, Viz Melissa Bike, Bora, Arkea, DSM, Lidl Trek as well. They've got, you know, they've got Jonathan Milan here alongside Pedersen. You know, they would probably quite favour a sprint too. So you kind of split down the middle. I'd say my only reservation with Melier is that he has not been climbing well at all recently. And that does make me a little bit scared about how he's going to cope with multiple ascents of a Kemmelberg. That's my only concern about him. But I think it's going to be interesting to see about how teams play this out, because I expect that a group's going to try and attack away with that tailwind. It's just too enticing to keep it all together for a sprint. And so I think that it's going to be a little small move that probably, you know, makes it, but it's just who wants to do that. I mean, Jacob, like you were saying, Michael Matthews here with Burbridge, Mezget, Kelland O'Brien, Elmar Hlaeners, Dylan Groenewegen, and Max Walscheid. I mean, Matthews was almost won MSR. He could probably make a front group, I think, if that was off the front. I see this being very, you know, when Wout won in 2021, and there was like Nizzolo and Bennett was throwing up off the back. I see it being kind of that sort of scenario, where you're going to have like Alpsen with Matthew and Philipsen, and then like a load of other kind of good sprinting, hard type classic guys. That's how I kind of see it playing out, and it's just hard to tell who's going to make that front group, really.
Matthews was, fifth in that edition. So, I mean, he has got some pedigree. Well, he's a great rider. We absolutely threw a lot of compliments his way after the Milan-San Remo recap race analysis here on the channel. So they could definitely be in the mix. Dylan Groenewegen, as I said, as well, in that team. But, yeah, Gaviria, hasn't he won the race or been very close to? No, I'm thinking of something else. But, no, that's it. In the Christophe win, when they were both riding for UAE, they were both in the same group, and Christophe I think on this channel, he said that Gaviria gave him the nod and said he wasn't feeling well, and then Christophe won the sprint. But in terms of other teams that I was thinking of, UAE Team Emirates with Antonio Morgado, who doesn't like cobbles, as you said in one of the recaps. This just has to be like bonus UCI points, whatever they get out of this.
Yeah, it's a weird one. Morgado, Ivo, Oliveira, Mikael Bjerg, Alvaro Hodge, Milano, Michael Vink, and Nils Pollitt. Slightly odd one. I think it does lack a Velens or a Tade to kind of focus around, but I think that Morgado is more than capable of making a front group. Pollitt as well. I mean, he was very easy to forget how he was second place at Omloop. Got Milano as a reserve kind of sprinting option to sit in that group behind. So I think they'll have representation no matter what, even if it's kind of a group that goes off or if it's a sprint. I reckon they should be cracking a top 10 either way, is how I see UAE kind of going here. But I really don't see them being a contender for winning personally. I just think that's a little bit out of their reach with this team.
I think you're maybe right, but another year of learning potentially for them as well. Where else are we looking towards as well, do you think, in terms of other riders?
Delee, possibly, if he can kind of
question marks though, right?
He does have a lot of question marks. It's a bit of an odd one where I'm not sure where his head's at the moment. Christoph, like you were saying, but there's also Vanenschulte, so you never quite know which one UNOX is going to sprint for, so it's always worthwhile mentioning both of them. Israel, Premier Tech have Ackermann, but we also have Ethan Vernon here. That's quite an interesting choice too. Dries van Hestel, I mean, he's a podium finisher in this race did he finish on the podium when Binnie won? I think he might have done. He might have beaten Stuyven to third place, so may as well mention the other kind of podium finisher from a previous edition. But I think that's, I mean, you could go through so many riders here, but there are so many that you could point out, but I think that every team's got a decent chance of finishing inside the top 10. Lawrence Piffy as well, he's here. Just there's so many names that it's very easy to forget him. He's another one who could make a front group or just wait for a sprint, so he's almost between two categories. He's like Pedersen, I guess, in that sense. Far too many names to cover.
Well, we might as well get to our favorite part of the show, predictions. And Patrick, which scenario are you gonna go for, A or B, stay away or sprint finish?
I've been talking up a lot of this staying away category, so I'm gonna have to stick with that. I think it would be a bit rude of me to not do that.
Okay, I'll do the other one then.
Okay,
I cover all bases covered.
I'm going to go with, in third place will be Lawrence Piffy. Second place will be Mats Pedersen, and Jasper Philipsen will win.
Wait, what? Jasper Philipsen's getting away in your scenario.
Yeah. It's going to be like him and Matthew and a load of like hardy sprinters. I see it being very 2021. That's my philosophy for this.
So then now you took my winner once again. I should not let you go first next time. Okay, fine. I'll go with, I agree with your Tim Merlier thing. Mats Pedersen desperately wants to win up some, well, outside of France. So I will go with Binnie third place, Jasper Philipsen second place, and Michael Matthews gets revenge for Milan-San Remo. When's the last time we had an Australian winner here? We ever had an Australian winner?
No. I thought you were going to say Milan.
Actually, that would have been better. But yeah, Michael Matthews. Well, it's just because he's in great form and Milan was kind of used up and dropped in Milan-San Remo. So that's my thinking behind that. Bonus round, I guess. Where will Laporte finish? Because since he's there...
Is DNS a start?
You could do DNS. Well, it should be Mathieu van der Poel. Let's do both. Mathieu van der Poel and Laporte.
I reckon Laporte is a DNS. And I think that van der Poel finishes 8th after towing that group away.
Okay, fine. If that actually happens and you haven't put any money on it. But, I mean, betting in cycling is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Because a cow can appear. But I am going to say Mathieu van der Poel finishes in 17th and Laporte finishes in 8th. So I copied you in a bit, in a way. But anyways, that's basically it for our preview show of the Kev Wevelgem. And if you haven't already, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel here, and let us know down below before the race who you think is going to win. Some of you, I know some of you, like to predict the winners afterwards. And as well, make sure to check out Patrick's own channel, Aldo Cycling. There's of course going to be a preview there as well of the Velo Games stuff. And if you want to see more of Patrick, the Echelon Cycling Podcast is also where he lives. So with that, thank you very much for watching, and we will see you in the next one.